You guys, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books was nominated for a Webby Award, which is this really prestigious award that I am dying to win. And there's a People's Voice component, and you can vote and get me from number two, second place, to first place. But you have to vote. Please go to vote.webbys.com. Vote.webbys.com, but it's kind of complicated, so it might be easier just to go to zibbyowens.com or my Instagram at zibbyowens, where it'll always be in my stories and it's in one of those little circle highlights. Please, please, please vote. Voting ends April 18th and I'm in second place, so please vote for best individual episode, talk show, interview show. Thank you so much.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern, and the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin, and so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much. Hi, everybody. I have some exciting news, but I need your help. I was nominated for a Webby Award, which for those of you who have been listening to this podcast for more than 2 years might remember I was nominated for 2 years ago and tried desperately to win the People's Choice Award then, which I didn't. But at that time, I was like going to the guy at Joe and the Juice behind the counter asking him to vote for me and anyone I could. So now I'm coming to all of you to ask you to please vote for Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to win the People's Choice Webby Award for Best Live Podcast. If you go to vote.webbyawards.com, again, that's vote.webby, W-E-B-B-Y, webbyawards.com, and then go to the little magnifying glass search thing on the upper right. All you have to type in is search by name or entry and just type in moms and it will come up. And then you can click on the best live podcast recording nominee and vote for me. Also, by the way, I won honoree for best influencer, which is crazy. Anyway, thank you for voting. I really, really would appreciate it. I would love to win the People's Voice Award, especially after trying so hard and failing 2 years ago. So if you could just take a few minutes and vote, I would be so grateful.
You could email me after if you want at info@zibbyowens.com. And I will say thank you to you via email myself because I'm so grateful. So email me if you've done it, post about it. I would be so grateful. Thank you.
Hi, this is Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I'm also the host of Moms Don't Have Time to Lose Weight, and I'm the editor of the anthology, which you should run out and buy, called Moms Don't Have Time To, a quarantine anthology. All proceeds of that book go to COVID-19 vaccine research. And I'm the editor-in-chief of Moms Don't Have Time to Write, a new publication on Medium, and we're accepting submissions, so please send your personal essays there. And if all that isn't enough, you can follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens, and my website is zibbyowens.com. Okay, now back to this amazing podcast. Alison Bechdel is the author of The Secret to Superhuman Strength. Her cult following for her comic strip Dykes to Watch Out For expanded wildly for her best-selling memoirs Fun Home, adapted into a Tony Award-winning musical, and Are You My Mother? Her many honors include being named a MacArthur Fellow and Cartoonist Laureate of Vermont. Welcome, Alison. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books.
Thank you, Zibby. I'm very excited to be here.
So your book has both a weight loss-ish piece and, of course, a read books piece. So either way, delighted to have you in my podcast sort of universe to talk about your fantastic new graphic novel.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wrote this book called The Secret to Superhuman Strength, which is sort of a memoir about my own life as an exercise enthusiast, as someone who has pursued fitness in many different ways over the course of my life. I wouldn't say there's not a weight loss component to it, though. I'm very careful in this book I exercise for many reasons, but the desire to lose weight is not one of them. I find that whole idea a little problematic. What I would love is to unlink exercise from the idea of losing weight, because I want exercise to be pleasurable and a positive fun experience for people. And if you go into it with this sort of punitive idea that you're doing it in order to lose weight, I think it's going to take all the joy out of it, for one thing. And also, you know, I'm not an exercise physiologist by any means, but I don't think exercise is really a great way, at least on its own, to lose weight. You know, when you exercise, you get hungrier, you eat more, your body becomes more muscular and therefore heavier. Like, I would just like to disconnect weight loss from exercise.
I'll disconnect with you. I believe that too. To be honest, today I've like been on a workout kick for the first time since really COVID started. I've done like 8 days in a row, and it's completely changed my mental sanity and outlook. Yeah. But not the scale has not, you know, I finally was like, this is ridiculous. But that's not why I do it. I'm like, I would have eaten all this junk anyway. Now I'm just working out in addition. So it's a totally different thing and so key to mental health. But your book was much more both a cultural commentary and a personal journey in pictures, essentially. You go from, you know, watching Jack LaLanne on TV and getting your first TV back in the, like, you know, John F.K. assassination days, yeah. All the way through, you know, newer-ish, you know, like you propelling, what is the word, rappelling up on a rock climbing wall, and all sorts of different ways that you've sort of found your way through the world in your body, which I found super interesting, including your horrific grief and loss along the way and everything else. So tell me a little bit about how you decided to do this book, especially on the heels of such accomplished, amazing books before it.
Well, yeah, I wrote these memoirs about my family, about these kind of heavy, deep family stories that I was sort of trying to exercise from myself. With exercise with an O, not an E. And I wanted to do something that was lighter and more fun. So I thought, you know, I've always loved fitness, exercise, riding my bike, running, skiing. Why don't I write a book about that? Because, you know, exercise is a fun topic. So I started work on this book, and it actually turned out to be almost as grueling as these intimate family memoirs were, just because I was really looking at, I don't know, my whole life. This is a memoir about the course of my life. I just turned 60. Like, at the time I was finishing the book, I turned 60. So the book is divided into 6 chapters, one for each decade of my life. And I was born in 1960, which is pretty much, I think, when as a culture we started exercising. You know, people didn't really go to gyms before that or think about, you know, their cardiovascular fitness. That's all pretty modern. So I was interested in the way my own life overlaid that cultural history. And I was doing all the things when everyone else was doing them. I started downhill skiing as a little kid. My parents took me and my brothers alpine skiing. As a teenager in the 70s, I took up jogging when everyone was starting to run. It was just like this thing in the air. In the 80s, I did martial arts. I joined a women's martial arts school. Later, I did yoga. I moved to Vermont in the 90s to the country after living in the city for 10 years and started doing all these outdoor things that everyone here does. They ride their bikes and climb mountains and run up mountains. So I took up all those sports. My house is filled with all kinds of gear and crap. And I wanted to write about what it is that I get from all of these things. And what is it that I get from all of these things? I want to say it's more of a metaphysical thing than a physical thing, but I also get a very physical benefit from all this physical activity because it grounds me in my body. I'm someone who's very cerebral, very like just caught up in my thinking mind all the time. So exercise has been a huge counterbalance to that, just really bringing me back to earth, quite literally. But there's this really wonderful feeling that I can get sometimes when I'm working out, which is that feeling when you're no longer like trapped inside of your individual body, but you just start to merge out with the rest of the world. You're not thinking about yourself. Sometimes, like on a very long run, it'll be like I don't exist as a self anymore. I am just the act of running. And there's something so blissful about that, getting out of my, you know, my own limited small self to this bigger connected experience. And that's kind of what motivates me to keep doing all this stuff, the promise of getting that feeling again.
Wow. And you included a lot of this sort of soul introspection in the book also, as you sort of overlaid it with the working out. And you referenced how you had grown up with your family's funeral home business. Yeah. And how death was never too far away from the beginning. And it was funny because as I researched you, I was sort of saying out loud to my husband who was sitting at the next desk, I was like, wow, you know, her dad was an army veteran and her dad this. And then I was like, oh my gosh. And then her dad died. And oh my gosh, this is how he died. And I kept like, and they worked at a funeral home. And oh my gosh. And so I was like, I can't believe it. And then as I was reading your book after and like pausing on the dark pages, which I love how you just took all the color out of the time where you explain what happened to your dad, which I wonder if you would be willing to talk about, but how your sort of sense of life's fleetingness has been there forever. So tell me a little more about that.
Yeah, my dad was a funeral director and I grew up completely like taking death for granted. It was just something that we saw all the time. We didn't live in the funeral home, but my grandmother did. She just lived right up the street. And my brothers and I we had chores at the funeral home. We would set the chairs out or help my dad arrange the flowers. And we would see very routinely these dead bodies, mostly very old, tiny, shriveled people who'd had long, full lives, but occasionally like younger people. And it was really, I feel like it was a gift, you know, to have this exposure to death. I know that many of my friends had never seen a dead body and they just thought it was so wild that I saw this all the time. And they'd always ask like, what's it like? Or is it scary to be in the house? And I would say, no, it's really not. It's just kind of cool. I felt special because I had this access to, you know, to death that most people didn't have. And I feel like it kind of established in me a certain preoccupation with my own mortality. You know, I knew that this was going to happen to me too. But of course, as children, we can't really see that far into the future. It's very abstract. You might know you're going to die, but you don't really believe it. It's something that I think as we go along through life, it becomes more visible to us with time. I still don't really believe it. I'm always trying to really work on my acceptance of my own mortality. But there's something in us, I think, that just makes it really that we resist it on so many levels. So one of the things I was looking at in this book is, you know, the fact that I am aging. My body is starting to lose strength, lose flexibility. All the things that I worked out to, you know, increase, that's all going away, even as I continue to work out. Quite sobering.
You have that picture of, I'm sort of drawing with my finger for, but like of the going up the cliff, and then like you have this downward slope then with which ended just with a little tombstone. Yes. Like, this is so depressing.
I know.
Why get out of bed in the morning?
I know. That's exactly. Yeah, that's I drew a little image of myself biking up a mountain, and it's overlaid with my different times. Like 20 years ago, my favorite bike ride, I was doing it at like 16 miles an hour. And now it's like 12 miles an hour. Just this, I still feel like I'm working as hard as I can, but I'm becoming an old person. So how do we live with that knowledge? I don't know. I didn't really arrive at an answer to that.
But I think it's a very important question, right? I mean, my dad's joke is always, well, it's better than the alternative. You know, whenever we talk about aging, right? It's like, well, got this, and the other thing, but, you know, could be worse.
Yeah. I mean, for me, in my case, it's not really like death so much that I'm afraid of. It's getting weak. It's getting dependent on other people. It's not being able to care for myself. The title of my book, The Secret to Superhuman Strength, comes from an ad in a comic book for a little booklet that I sent away for when I was a kid. I always loved those, the Charles Atlas ads that were in the back of every like child's comic book. You know, the big bully on the beach who kicks sand on the little weak guy. And so the little weak guy goes and builds himself up until the next time the guy kicks sand on him, he can clock that guy. And I found that an extremely compelling narrative as a child, because yeah, I wanted to be strong. I wanted to be in control of my life. I think the reason those ads are in comic books, even though tiny children are not going to become bodybuilders, it appeals to that sense children have of just being so small and powerless. And I certainly felt small and powerless as a child, and I wanted to be big and strong. I wanted to be in charge. And over the course of my life, that idea of strength remained very compelling, but it became more a fantasy about self-sufficiency, more than just brute physical strength. I didn't want to need other people. I wanted to be my own everything. So that's another thing I explore in this book, is the fact that I'm not self-sufficient. None of us are. We're all gonna get weak. And you know, at various points in our life, we're gonna need help. And I'm just trying to work on my acceptance of that.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, "This is so exciting." So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby. I mean, it's possible we won't. I mean, this is one of those things. Like, I feel like if you were my daughter and she was worrying about this, I would say, well, you know, you don't know that for sure. You don't know that it's definitely going to go that way. Who knows what tomorrow is going to bring? But like, maybe, you know, I would probably say to her, like, you know, enjoy the strength you have today, because what, it, you know, tomorrow could be the last day and you will die as strong as you ever were. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think there's a balance of, not to say you shouldn't be thinking about this. And I feel like that's what I would probably say to her, is to like, you know, you don't know, like my mother is 73 or something and she runs 5 miles a day and, you know, has like this amazing golf handicap and she's far better shape than I am. Like, I wouldn't say she was weak. So I mean, not to say that by the time she's 95, she won't be, but I don't know. It's, nothing is a sure thing. Not even sort of the decline. Maybe it won't be as precipitous.
Oh yeah. I think that's true. And that's certainly part of my fantasy as I, you know, lift weights and run, you know, go on my runs. But I also am increasingly aware of how fragile we are. You know, like I fall all the time. Not that I'm unusually clumsy, but I'm just realizing, you know, I often fall when I'm running, not often, but you know, I will occasionally hit the deck or doing any number of activities. But when you fall and you're old and your bones are brittle, that's really a problem. So I've just been thinking about that. Like, it's not so much that we can't do stuff, but that we can't recover the way that we can when we're younger and more supple. I'm sorry to be such a downer. Let's not think about brittle bones.
No. It's, I mean, this is part of life. I mean, for people, I mean, I share this sort of top of mind, like death is top of mind for me on a daily basis. Like, I'm not one of these people who doesn't think about it. Like, I feel like anybody who's had loss in their life, it's not like an abstract, right? It's very much.
Yeah. Especially now when, you know, so many people. Now. Yeah.
So, well, tell me a little bit about how you decide, like, how did you, because there are like a zillion illustrations that accompanied this book. So how did you go about the text versus the illustration and the whole process of it? Like, how long did it take? Tell me how was it creating this?
Well, I'm a cartoonist. That's how I tell stories, is with words and pictures together. Although if you watched my process, I do kind of write first. I need to have an idea of where I'm going with a book or a story before I can start doing the drawings, because drawing is a lot of work. I think many cartoonists probably draw and write more simultaneously than I do, but I'm sort of a wordy cartoonist, so I like to have my text set. So for a long time, I was just looking at my own life. I'm a memoirist, you know, I'm writing about myself. That's really what I do. And I keep a lot of records of my life. I have all kinds of journals and date books and photo albums. And I was just trying to get a handle on the arc of my own life and when certain transformational moments for me happened in my life. And you mentioned in the book, some of the cartoons are in color, but some pages in the book are in black and white. And there are certain moments when I felt like some real change was happening in my life. And those I did in black and white, took the color out. And also the line, they're not just black and white, but they're done with a brush, like a Asian Sumier style of drawing, instead of ink lines like the rest of the book. And for me, those moments are times when I feel like I could see through life, see through the busy everyday life that we live into this more, this more mystical aspect of existence, where everything is kind of, it's just not as clear cut. Things do blend into one another. Things are connected. There's no sharp delineation the way we see a table or a computer screen and another person on it in our everyday life. It's really all just, you know, a lot of space and quantum particles, and it's all one kind of material on a certain level. Sorry to get all mystical there, but that's part of that feeling I was talking about when you're exercising and getting outside of your own self. Like that's that other register of reality that I find useful to think about.
How did you even get on this path? How did you make this a career?
You know, I do exactly what I have been doing since I was three. I was very lucky to have parents who encouraged me to draw and encouraged me to write. And I just kept doing that. I started doing comics for free in my early 20s after getting out of college. I worked at a feminist newspaper and started doing these silly little cartoons about lesbians, because I was just coming out as a lesbian at that time. And I called these cartoons Dykes to Watch Out For. And I just started putting them in the paper. And it was in the early 1980s when there just weren't a lot of images of queer people out in the world. And people were excited about those. And I just, it became like my mission. I just kept doing that. And for many years, drew this comic strip, which I was able to start making my living off of when I turned 30. And I did it for 25 years and then started doing these longer form works, these autobiographical memoirs about my family. And now that's what I do.
And one of them, you ended up winning a bazillion Tonys, and the play Fun Home won all sorts of awards.
Well,
and
now that was very strange. Yeah, my memoir, Fun Home, which is a story about my dad, who, it's a story about when I came out to my family in college, I learned that my dad also was gay, or at least bisexual, and had been having affairs with other men over the course of my parents' marriage. So that was just mind-blowing. And in that same period of my life, very soon after finding out about him, he died in an accident. He was hit by a truck, but my mom and I were pretty sure that was intentional, that he had killed himself. So the memoir was a book I wrote 20 years after that happened. I didn't feel able to do it at the time, or, you know, even for, you know, for those two decades. It took me a long time to get my mind around that. And I felt increasingly like I needed to tell that story, that it involved these family secrets that I needed to talk about. Like I felt like I couldn't fully properly grieve my father because no one knew the whole story. And I felt like I needed to tell that whole story in order to access my own grief and be liberated from it, you know, to move on. So fortunately, it did have that effect, writing this story. Oh, and then bizarrely, this weird graphic novel about my father's suicide, that turned into a Broadway musical. That was pretty crazy, but it was a very wonderful experience and a really, really amazing play.
Gosh, I wish I had seen it. Maybe we need a revival. Although I read that it's going to be a movie with Jake Gyllenhaal. Is that true or no?
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Jake Gyllenhaal will be my dad.
Wow. Wow. So what are you working on now?
Oh, gosh. I'm mostly working on publicizing this book and just getting my life in order. When I finished the book at the end of last year, and drawing a book is a hugely physically intense process. Like, I couldn't do anything else. So I'm also just trying to catch up with my life, all the things that got put on hold while I was single-mindedly drawing the book.
So what advice would you have both for aspiring graphic novelists, cartoonists, and even on the workout front? let's start with aspiring yous out there.
I guess my advice would be that maybe the same for both of those things, for people who want to pursue, you know, some creative thing that they enjoy, or people who want to work out, is to really follow your, I know this is very trite, but follow your bliss, as Joseph Campbell directed us to do. Like, do the thing that makes you happy, that gives you pleasure, you know, doing something for some other external reason, like because you want to look different or because you want someone's approval or some, you know, or if you want fame, like, you know, focus on your own internal experience of what feeds you and makes you happy. And then you can't lose, because at least you'll be happy whatever happens.
That's true.
That's my advice.
Well, I'm sorry about your loss, and thank you for sharing it. And thank you for sharing about your book. I feel like the act of you sharing it was an act of superhuman strength. So
there's that. Thank you, Sibby. Thanks. It was really fun to talk with you. And thanks for all your amazing podcasts. You are indefatigable. It's incredible all the stuff that you're doing.
Thank you. Trying. I love it. So it's hard to stop.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, thank you so much. It was really great to meet you. And thanks for sharing.
Thank you. Likewise.
Having this very intense conversation for a Monday morning.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sibby.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Sibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at SibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.